Now we're holding Paetes Umud Bey's fifth line from the bottom. We started discussing yesterday in Machloikas Reb Nosson and the Chachamim. Suppose that you have a neder that has not yet been chal. Specifically, we had a case. Well, in the Mishnah, we described two cases, one where both of them involving a neder with a tnai, where in one case you have dvarim shebeina levena, because she made a tnai, if I make food for you, my husband, then I will be usur to have hana for my, or to give hana to my father or your father. So should she be doing that, then she's going to trigger her neder. And the other case was the other way around, where tnai was if she does work for her father or his father, then she should be usur to do work for him, to give him food. Either way, we said he can be mefer, even though the neder hasn't been chal yet, because if it is chal, then there will be inri nefesh, and then there will be dvarim shebeina levena involved. And we mentioned in the Gemara then that we have that this is actually the subject of a machlokas and the chachamim. And similarly in another case of Netula Animina Yehudim, where she makes a neder against Tashmish, same thing. Reb Nosson will say that since it was based on tonight, if I have relations with you, then in the future I'll be also to have relations ever again with any Jews, then Reb Nosson says he can't yet be mefer. After she has relations with him the first time and the neder is triggered, then we can talk about being mefer, but not until then. And the Chum say he could be mefer. So now the Gemara is going to discuss this point about, according to Reb Nosson, not being mater and neder before it's chal. So the Gemara says, Ahu gavra, de itzer hanayosa de alma alei. There was a man who made the hana of the world also on him. Now that could mean that he made a neder that he won't be able to have hana from anybody, or it could mean that he made a neder that he's not going to have. That's how the Ran understands that he made a neder that he's not going to have hana from anybody. The Rosh and Tosfos understand that it means that he made himself also to have any of the hanois in the world, or maybe certain particular kinds of hanois or something. That's going to affect a couple of lines in the Gemara further, that's going to affect the meaning of something that was done later on in the story. Anyway, he made this neder, if he gets married to a woman, if I do not first learn halachas. In other words, he figured like this. There's an expression in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Rechaim b'tzavore v'yasef b'torah. How can a person have the millstones around his neck, meaning that he has to support his wife and children and be able to learn Torah? It's going to be very difficult. Therefore, the Gemara discusses over there that maybe it's more appropriate to learn Torah as much as possible before a person gets married, and maybe to delay marriage for that reason. So this person took that view. So therefore, he made a neder that if he gets married before he's learned halachas, and by halachas, Tosfos says it means that he wanted to learn the entire shas before he gets married. So if he does, then he's making a neder that he's going to be osur in hanayasa de alma, which again, according to the Ran, means to have hana from any person, and according to the Rosh and Tosfos means to have hana from anything. Or maybe not from anything, because that would be completely impossible, but at least to have, at least that he's sharply limited what kind of hanoris he can have.
Once he gets married, then fine.
No, not once he gets married. The point is, in other words, this was an example of a tnai and a neder. The tnai was, if I don't get married first. The result of that, the tnai was, if I get married before I learn the whole shas, the result would be that he'd be usur. So now, if he learns all of Shas and then gets married, no problem. Then the neder is never triggered. The problem was Rohit the gap of Tuvia. The problem was he ran with his stick and with his bag. And he wasn't able to learn. So the Ran says that's a figure of speech. The gap of a tuvlia means a stick, like a walking stick, and a bag, like a person might take when he's going on a trip. In other words, it's a figure of speech, meaning he tried as hard as possible to learn, and he wasn't able to grasp it. He wasn't able to learn all of Shas in time. the Ran says rather what it was, not the Ran, the Rosh says rather what it is he was busy. He had to work for a living. So he was working for a living involving carrying bags on sticks or doing other some such work. And therefore that prevented him from being able to fulfill his neder. Whatever the case, the point is he didn't end up fulfilling his neder. So now there's a problem. What does he do? If he never learns all of Shas, he's never going to be able to get married, because if he does, then he's triggering this neder.
That's against the way Hashem says.
The fact is he made a neder. So now either he has to be matur neder, or we have to do something about it. No, because we said a neder, we said near the beginning of the sefta, a neder can be chal on a dvar mitzvah.
Even against, okay.
Yeah, we said, for example, imagine we said a person makes a neder, let's say, for example, that matzah is off limits to him, kona matzah alive, they can't eat matzah on Pesach, yeah. Okay. So, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna came along. Now, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna holds similar to Rav Nosson, that you can't be matir neder. Now, Rav Nosson is talking about being made for a neder, the husband. Here, we're going to be discussing whether this also applies to our Torah Stadarim. We're going to discuss soon in the Gemara. Rav Acha bar Rav Huna held that it does, or at least that we have to be choshish that it does. So therefore, he needed to make sure that somehow the neder is triggered before he can arrange to be matir neder. So, v'shabshei, so he misled this guy into telling him, "Don't worry, you can get married, and your neder won't be triggered." So that was step one. He has to convince him. B'shabshei, the Ran says, means he misled him. The Oruch says slightly differently that b'shabshei means like he convinced him. The Oruch uses the shortest shabish as the points out that, for example, the Targum uses that as the translation of the word pitri. So we had back in Yevamos, we had the concept of pitui, where a man seduces a woman to have relations with him. So here, Shabshay, he seduced him into, he convinced him and told him, "Don't you worry, get married and there won't be a problem." So the guy gets the insiv. So sure enough, the insiv itza. So now the guy gets married. Now the neder has been triggered. Now comes step two. We have to get the neder. We have to be matter the neder. The sharke tina. So now Rav Acha bar Rav Huna covered his face with clay. Now, why did he do that? So here you have a few different explanations. The Ran, who says that the neder originally was that he wouldn't have hanah from any people, so the reason why to put dirt all over his clothing would be to go when he goes to the Rav, when he goes to Rav Chista, as the Gemara is going to continue to tell Rav Chista, look what a desperate situation this guy is in. He can't have hanah from anybody, therefore his clothes are filthy. Please be matir his neder so that he'll be able to go and get his clothes washed and be presentable again.
Wash himself.
It's not so easy. Now, if a person is not used to washing clothes, they're not going to know. You know, nowadays, yeah, you throw it in the washing machine. Yeah. But they didn't have that then. So if he doesn't know how to wash his own clothes, so therefore, like, in other words, according to that, the smearing him with clay wasn't strictly necessary in order for him to be matir neder. The point was more in order to get Rav Chista to realize what a pity. You know, this guy is in a really bad situation. Let's try to hurry up and find a way to be matir his neder.
But just alone for Rav Chista to know that this guy won't be able to stay married. That's
one second. One second. That he won't be able to stay married. He won't be able to have hanah from anybody. But wait, no. Once he no. So okay. So
getting married. Or
well,
even having getting engaged is hanah.
Well, okay, maybe, but I mean, you could say that the hanah was to only not have hanah from certain kinds of people, whatever. But it would still be hard enough. According to the Rosh, the point was that the Rosh, who learns that he made the neder to not have hanah from anything in the world, well, then he can't wear clothing either. So therefore, so Acha bar Rav Huna makes him take off his clothing, and so that he'll be decent. It covers him with clay, so he's walking around over there wearing clay all over his body instead of clothing. And according to Tosfos, the vote is that the guy was first of all one explanation like the Rosh, and a second explanation was that he was a little embarrassed that Rav Chista is going to say to him what happened to your neder? Why are you not fulfilling it? So therefore, like, he's embarrassed and he's covering his face with clay. Anyway, whatever the case. So then Rav Chista was matter the neder. So Omar Rava, so Rava comments on this story. Man chakin l'mevad ki ha milsa, who would be so smart to be able to do such a thing, to be able to make this whole, to do this multi-step thing? Ilav de Rav Acha bar Rav Huna de Gavre Rabbi, only Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, who is a great person, a great Talmid Chacham. Meaning, because the Kasavar, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna takes the view, ki hefi de pligi Rabbanan v'Rav Nosan v'Afara, the same argument Rav Nosan and the Chachamim have regarding Hafara, where Rav Nosan says the husband cannot be made for the neder until it's chal. And for that reason, for example, we said that even in a case, let's say, for example, the second case of the Brais that we had yesterday, where she says, that if I have relations with you, that in the future I am oster to have relations with anybody, which would include him as well, then Rav Nosson says he still can't be mefer until they actually have the relations that first time, and then that triggers the neder. Once the neder has been triggered, then yeah, he can be mefer, but not before that. So according to now, and according to Rav Nosson, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna says that he figures the same way as they argue about hafara, hochinami pligi b'sheila. The same way they argue as far as asking to be matur neder, that Rav Nosson would also say the chacham cannot be matur unless the neder is chal. Therefore, we had to orchestrate things over here that this guy's neder should be chal before we can bring him to Rav Chista. So that's why Rav Acha bar Rav Huna had to go through step one, convince the guy to get married so that his neder is chal, and only then take him to Rav Chista and arrange with Rav Chista to be matur neder.
And the fact that he got married was not...
The fact that he got married, apparently... No, because the point is, the marriage itself is that only triggers the neder. After he gets married and hasn't yet learned all of Shas, then his neder is going to be in effect.
Well, one second. You seem to be aggregating the neder with the tnai that starts its effect. The neder stands the minute it's done. It doesn't wait until.
Exactly.
It doesn't wait until the until any action starts. The neder is chal immediately.
Well, that's true. So therefore, in other words, as soon as he got married, now the neder is in effect. So now we need to be matur neder as soon as possible, yeah, in order for him to be able to stay married to his wife, for pashtus, but also in order to be able to have any other hana that he needs.
He wouldn't be matur neder that he should.
No, so that's the thing. According to the various explanations in the Mefarshim, it's not like the clay was a necessary part of being matur the neder.
Yeah.
According to the Ran, it's as a practical matter to get Rav Chista to realize what a bad situation this guy is in. According to the Rosh, it's practically speaking, because otherwise he's got nothing to wear. According to Tosfos, it's practically speaking, because otherwise he's going to be embarrassed in front of Rav Chista. Anyway, the point is, again, the essential point is that Rav Acha bar Rav Huna holds that Rav Nosson would hold the same way a chacham cannot be matter unless the neder is chal. So now the Ran points out that it doesn't mean necessarily that halacha is like Rav Nosson. The point is that Rav Acha bar Rav Huna may have wanted to make sure that things happen in such a way that even Rav Nosson would be okay with it. Even just in case the halacha is like Rav Nosson, and we say it's not, because Yochid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim, nevertheless, he wanted to be careful for that opinion. And the Ran also goes on to point out that... Rava could have said that maybe Rav Acha bar Rav Huna holds that everybody agrees, even the Chachamim would hold that a Chacham can't be matur neder until it's chal. Maybe we would say just the opposite. Rav Nosson says it's not that it doesn't work by Hafara, and he would say it also doesn't work by Hatara. The Chachamim would hold it works by Hafara. A husband can be made for a neder before it takes place, but a Chacham not. Why doesn't Rava deduce that from the story? The point is, the Ran says, because you can't necessarily prove that. It's possible that you could learn it that way. All we know is for sure, the Gemara is going to bring soon an opinion that says that on the contrary, both Rav Nosson and the Chachamim agree that a Chacham could be Matur and Neder before it's Chal. Well, in that case, there would have been no reason for him to convince the guy to get married and then smear him with clay, etc. So obviously we can show that Rav Acha bar Rav Huna did not hold like that opinion. But all Rava is saying is, at the very least, we see that he holds it's questionable whether Rav Nosson holds that a Chacham can't be matur neder until it's chal. It's possible, yes, it's possible that the Chachamim hold that way also, but we can't prove one way or the other. So the Gemara continues, but a papi omer. Now the papi says, machloikas b'hafara, that no, the machloikas between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim is only as far as hafara. The Rav Nosson sava ain't a baal made for Elohim can chal neder. So Rav Nosson is going to hold the husband can't be made for unless the neder is chal. Dichtiv, and we actually have a pasuk. Now the proof we're going to bring from the pasuk is not really a proof. It's really more like an asmachta or like a drasha. But you have a pasuk b'chofra halavon. You have a pasuk that says that the in the future lo'asid lavo the moon will be embarrassed. So it means among other things b'chofra halavon ovo shacham. The pasuk says so it means on one level it means that people who worship the sun and moon all this time are going to be embarrassed that they did that because now they're going to realize the truth. On another level, it means the sun and the moon themselves are going to be outshined by the light of the Shekhinah, and therefore, like they're going to be embarrassed. Like, what are we accomplishing over here? Anyway, the point is, what do we see? What do we see from that? So we're darshaning the word v'chofra as if it was like the word v'hofra, meloshen hefer. So Tosfos explains like this. We learned earlier in the Masechta a few times that when a person makes a neder, ki'ilu bona bum, is as if he made a bum. So this v'chofra hachama or voisha halavana helps us remember this idea. V'chofra is meloshen hefer. Halavana, we're relating to the word bona bama, he built a bama. And we're saying, therefore, so we have a hint in that pasuk to the idea that you can only be made for a neder after the bama, so to speak, has already been built, meaning after the neder has already been chal. That's how Tosfos learns. The Mefarish, printed under Rashi's name over here, says, gives that explanation and then gives another explanation. The pasuk continues, ki molach Hashem tzvokis al Yisrael. Why are they going to be embarrassed? Because Hashem is ruling over the Jewish people, meaning, in other words, again, they're going to realize that the people who worship these things are going to be embarrassed, realizing that Hashem runs the world. So then, but the implication is, when Hashem has ruled, when Hashem has shown his rulership, that he is ruling, that's when they're going to be embarrassed, implying, but not before that. Therefore, that gives us a hint for the idea that Hafara takes place only after the thing has happened, only after the thing has taken effect. So again, it's obviously not a real drosha. It's a remez in the pasuk.
Where's that pasuk?
It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. And we have it in Pirkei Avos. We have in Perek Vav over there. You have the whole thing Hanoiva Koyach VaOsho, a bunch of things that are good for the tzaddikim and good for the world. And it brings this pasuk in that connection because the pasuk finishes off the Neged Skein of Kavod. Anyway, the point is, so that's where you might be familiar with it from. But yeah, anyway, so the point is, Rav Nosson would say that on the basis of that, as a remez from that pasuk, that you can't be made for unless the neder is chal. V'rabbanan sabri baal made for after pishaloi chal neder. The chachamim are going to say that the husband cannot be made for, that the husband could be made for, even though the neder is not chal, and they also have a pasuk for it. Dichtiv mefer machshavoy sarumim. The pasuk says Hashem is mefer. Hashem cancels the thoughts of the crafty ones, of the sneaky, sly ones. The point is, even when it's only a machshava, you can already speak of being mefer it. So that would be the machlokas, says Rapapi. Avol b'she'ela, but when it comes to asking a chacham to be matir neder, divrei hakol ein chacham matir klum elim ken chal neder. Everybody would agree that the chacham cannot be matir anything unless the neder is chal, dichtiv lo yachal dvarei, because the pasuk says he should not. Where do we learn the whole concept of ataras nedarim? The pasuk says he, the person who made the neder, should not desecrate his word. He shouldn't violate his word. But from that we learn other people can. But the word yachal was related to the word chal. So when the neder is chal, that's when we can say that he can't be mefer, that he can't be chal, that he can't be mechel it, he can't desecrate it, but somebody else can, but not before that. So again, if we follow Rapapi's understanding, then it would mean in the story before that when Rav Acha bar Rav Huna went through this whole rigmarole with the guy, it wasn't only according to Rav Nosson, it was also according to the Chachamim. So that's what the Ran said before. It's not, in fact, we're going to end up establishing that yes, the halacha is like Rav Papi's understanding that both that even according to that both according to Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, you cannot be made for a net, you can't be matter a neder unless it's chal, as opposed to a husband can be made for a neder before it's chal, like the Chachamim. So in the story with Rav Acha bar Rav Huna and this guy, we could have said that he's doing that because the Chachamim also hold that a Chacham can't be matter neder unless it's chal, but we couldn't have been sure about that. We could just as well understand that he's saying that maybe only Rav Nosson holds that way, not the Chachamim, but to be on the safe side, he wants to follow Rav Nosson as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, like, can we say that the following braisa supports what Rav Papi is saying? Suppose a person says, Koinam she'eni nen l'ploini. Suppose a person says, a koinam that I won't have hanah from, or give hanah to, as the case may be, l'ploini, to ploini, or l'misha eshoil olav, as well as to the chacham that I go to ask to be matur neder. So now the problem is, he has a double neder over here. He says I'm making a neder that ploini, even though the expression of the Gemara is nene, which usually means that I will have hana, but the Ran at least understands that we really mean mahana, that he's saying that I won't allow this other person to have hana from my property. So he's saying, I won't allow Reuven to have anah from my property. And on top of that, if I go to be matur the neder, the chacham that I go to be matur neder from, I'm asking myself to have any anah from him either. Well, in that case, how is he going to be matur neder then? So the braisa says, nishal ala rishon v'achakach nishal ala sheni. He can be matur neder first on the first one, and then, yes, that'll trigger the second neder. Now he'll be also in Hanah from the Chacham. So now he can go and be matter that neder as well. And therefore we're good. So, in other words, when he goes to ask the Chacham, the Ran seems to be implying when he goes to ask the Chacham, at that point he's not yet triggered the neder. Only when the Chacham actually tells him mutar l'cha, only then is the neder triggered. Then it comes like together. So now in that case, then the Chacham, so fine. Then the Chacham can be matter him the neder, and then go and be matter the other neder. Now. The point is, the i'amit mishal afkish lechal neder. So Rav Papi told us that both Rav Nosson and the Chachamim hold that you would have to do it in that order. If you were going to say not like Rav Papi, and you were going to say that the Chachamim and maybe even Rav Nosson allowed you to be matur neder even before it was chal, if you were going to say that, then why do you need to do that? Then you could be matur neder, either one first. It wouldn't matter because you could be matur neder. You could say proactively, I made this double neder. So first, let me be matur the neder that you, the chacham, that you'll be also to have anah from my nechassim. Let's get that out of the way. And then once we do that, then good. The chacham is like anybody else. And now. Now he can be matur neder the other one. The fact that the braisa says not, he has to first be matur the first neder, the pashtus, the first neder being the one where he said Reuven will be also to have anah from me, and only then the second neder that whichever chacham I go to be matur neder will. So that sounds like that supports what Rav Papi is saying. That then therefore that's the only way to make it work because both Rav Nosson and the chachamim would hold that way.
You have to do it in order.
So you'd have to do it in order. But the Gemara says, why? That's not a proof. Umi yoda ihai kame ihai basra. Why? How do you know necessarily that when the braisa calls Rishon and Achron, Rishon and Sheni, maybe it actually means the first one is whichever one he asks on first is considered the first one. Whichever one he asks on second is considered the second one. In which case, in other words, the chiddush would be that they're not all considered one big neder. We wouldn't say, for example, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, neder shehuta miktsase huta kula. We wouldn't say once the chacham is matter part of the neder, then he's matter all of it. We would say they are in fact two separate nedarim, and they have to be dealt with separately. Each one needs its own pesach and charota. If you matter one, you're not automatically matter the other. But that could be the chiddush of the the Braisa, not necessarily that it's telling us an order in which you have to deal with the two Nedarim. So that Braisa does not necessarily support what Rapapi says. And for that matter, I mean, the Ritva points out, the Gemara could have easily also said, this Braisa is only appointed of Nassan. Fine, you can show maybe that of Nassan, who holds this concept of that you can't be Matur and Neder, or that you can't be Mefu and Neder until it's Chal, fine, he'd hold the same thing as far as Ataras and Dari. Doesn't necessarily show the Chachamim hold that way. But here, the Gemara has a better answer. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. There's no proof from that Braisa. Ela Lema Messiah. Rather, can we say, instead, the following Braisa supports your path. Another Bryce says, Koinam she'eni nan el ploini. Person says, a koinam that I won't have hana from ploini, or that I won't give hana to ploini, as the case may be. Hareni nozer l'cha'ashol olal. And if I matter neder on that neder, then that's going to trigger another neder that I will be a nozer. So now, again, nishal al nidrei v'achachach nishal al nizrei. So he has to be matur neder, of the neder first, only then of the nizirus. Now you can't say that first and second mean whatever order he happens to be matur neder in, because obviously here the Braisa is clearly distinguishing between neder and nizirus. One was a regular neder, one was nizirus. And the Braisa is clearly saying that he has to do the neder before the nizirus. So again, the iyamet nishal afbish lechal neder. If you're going to tell me that it would be possible to be matur neder before it's chal, iboy al nidre itcho bereisha, iboy al nizre itcho bereisha. Then maybe you could say that it depends. That then again, you could say he could be matur either one first. Why would the Braisa insist that he has to do it in a certain order? So doesn't that prove Rapapi's point? Rav Nosson says not necessarily, because Rav Nosson. Maybe that Braisa is only appointed Rav Nosson. Fine, you've shown that appointed Rav Nosson, you need it to be in a certain order because you can't be matur neder until it's chal. You haven't necessarily proved that that's true according to the Chacham.
If
he were to be matur, so according to Rav Nosson, if he were to be matur first in the zeros, nothing would happen because it hasn't been chal.
The Nizirus would be off, but the first one would.
No, that's the point. The Nizirus would not be off because it's an invalid Atara. You can't be matur neder according to Rav Nosson unless it's chal. So therefore, so now the Nezirus has not yet been chal, because we need first the other neder to take effect. Only when he's matur the first neder, only then does the second one take effect. So it hasn't yet taken effect. According to Rav Nosson, you can't be matur at that point. So according to Rav Nosson, this Braisa would work. Doesn't necessarily show that what Rapapi is saying, that he's saying that the Chachamim would agree with that. We can't necessarily prove that. So here the Ram says that now when we have the machlokas of Nosson and the Chachamim, the halacha is going to be like the Chachamim, and also we have reason to say that based on the case previously that Rabbi Akiva said, we learned yesterday, where a woman makes a neder that will take effect when I get divorced. So then we said the husband can be made for even now, because otherwise later on he won't be able to after she gets divorced. So again, we see that a husband can be made for a neder before it takes effect. On the other hand, when it comes to the chacham, that we're going to talk about soon. That the Ran will talk about soon about who the halacha is like in that. Rapapi is saying, as far as Hafara, yeah, I'm not dealing with that. Rapapi, it's clear with Hafara that Rav Nosson holds you can't and the Chachamim hold you could. So now the halacha would be like the Chachamim. Rapapi is talking about as far as Haftaras Nidorim. So that we'll talk about soon who the halacha is like. So again, this that we have in the story before, that Rava is complimenting Rav Acha Bar Avone, is a Gavra Rabba, who thought of such a great idea, that's not because the halacha is like Rav Nosson, it's because Rav Acha Bar Avone acted in a way that even Rav Nosson, that even if we say, like Rav Papi, even then Rav Nosson will agree with it. Even if we say that Rav Nosson's din applies to both Hafara and Atara, still he's still following that. But since in the end, as we're going to say, the halacha is like a papi, then it means that what he was doing was actually necessary according to halacha. Otherwise, because even the chachamim would hold that by hatorah is different. If he hadn't done that, then there would have been a problem. Then the neder would have never been triggered. And therefore, when he went to Rav Chista to be matur the neder, Rav Chista would have told him, I'm sorry, I can't be matur your neder until it's actually chal.
he got married already.
That's the point. Because he got married already, because Rav Acha bar Avona convinced the guy to get married, that's how he made the thing work. That's what Rava is complimenting him on.
And the clay was just because he was embarrassed.
The clay was just because he was embarrassed or because he couldn't have Hannah, etc. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there is, by the way, within that, a machlokas rishonim about this. When we say that, when we're saying over here, according to the papi, and in the end, the halacha is going to be like that, that a chocham can't be matur and neder, unless it's chal, does that apply to all cases where it hasn't yet been chal yet? Or is it maybe only limited to a certain subset of cases? Maybe only, for example, when it depends on a tnai that he has the capability of being makayim or not being makayim. Would it necessarily apply to, let's say, a person makes a neder, that's not really out tonight, but let's say a person makes a neder, for example, that's only going to take 30 days, that's only going to take effect 30 days from now. Can the Chacham be matter it now? So the Rambam writes, no. The Ran learns in our sugya that such cases actually maybe the Chacham could be matter in advance, only when we have things like we're describing in our sugya that depend on him doing something, then you can say, well, you haven't done it yet. Then they're fine. You may never do it, so therefore, I can't be matur you yet. But the time is going to pass no matter what. But most of the Rambam and most of the other Rishonim disagree with the Ran on that and say that you can't that any neder that hasn't yet been chal yet a chacham can't be matur. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omer Ravina, Omer li Maremar. So Ravina says Maremar told me hochi Omer avuch mishmei de Rapap. You should know your father told me in the name of Rapap. There's actually two Ravinas in Shas. Most of the time, Ravina in Shas is usually the Chaver of Rav Ashi. We have also, we find in a Gemara in Bava Metzia, I think it is, that he had a nephew also named Ravina. Both of them became great Amiroyim. The second one actually is the one, we call him Ravina HaAchron, when he was the last of the Amiroyim. When he passed away, the period of the Gemara was over. So here it seems that we're talking about that second one because Marema was one of the Chaverim of Rav Ashi, and Ravina himself, this Ravina we find in that Gemara in Bava Metzia, was a Yosin. So his father was himself a distinguished Talmid Chacham. So now we find here and there where Amiroyim are telling Ravina, you should know your father, who back in the day was one of the great Chachamim, he said such and such. So Marema told me, Hochi Omer Avrucham Mishmei de Rapapi. This is what your father, Ravina's father, said in the name of Rapapi. Machloikas Bahafara. Differently than what we said before. Before, the first version of Rapapi, we said, was that when it comes to Afara, you have the Machloikas. When it comes to She'ela, when it comes to Ataras Nadorim, everybody agrees you can't be Matir, a Neder that hasn't been Chal yet. The version that Marema is quoting to Ravina is the other way around. Machloikas b'hafara, the machloikas of Nosin and the Chachamim is only as far as Hafaras Nedarim. Abba b'she'ela, but when it comes to being matur neder, divrei hakol mefer v'afbish lechal neder, everybody would agree that he could be mefer, or rather matur, even though the neder had not been chal, dichtiv lo yachol dvarei, because the pasuk says he shouldn't transgress his word, implying that even when it's only a word, even when it hasn't taken effect yet, then already the Chacham can be matur. So the opposite of what we said before. So the Gemara says, "Lememra d'loy have a be'maisa," meaning, in other words, the word "lo yachol dvora" implies even if there's only not a maisa yet, all there is a dover, all there is a word. Nevertheless, a dibur. Nevertheless, already the chacham can be matter. So the Gemara says, "Maisvi though, I have a contradiction to that. A brisa that we had the brisa before. Koinam she'eni nan of Pliny. Person says a koinam that I won't give hana to Pliny. Ulamisha nisha walav. And in addition, that if I'm matur neder, I won't give hana to the chacham that I'm asking for. So nisha walavishin va'achakach nisha walasheni. Then we said he has to be matur that neder in that order. Now am I? Now according to Marema, according to Ravina's father's understanding of Rapapi, why would that be necessary? Iboy al hai nitcho beresha, viboy al hai nitcho beresha. He could ask on either one first. There's no particular order that he has to do it.
Since he's allowed to ask
for not to be matur neder before it's chal, yeah. And the Gemara answers, like we said before, mi yadeya hei rishon vehei sheni. Why is that a proof? We don't know which one is the first and which one is the second. In other words, like we said, it doesn't mean the first one that he made and the second one that he made. It means the first one that he's matur and the second one that he's matur. And like we said before, the chiddush of it is that we should realize that they're considered two separate nedarim for all purposes in halacha. That's not the point. The point is, obviously, he knows. We also know. We heard him say the nedarim. But the point is that we don't know when the Braisa says first and second. Does it mean the first one that he said and the second one that he said, or does it mean the first one that he's matter and the second one that he's matter? Maybe the Braisa is telling us he can be matter them in whichever order he wants. Whichever one he's matter first, we're going to call the first one. Whichever one he's matter second, we're going to call the second one. The point is, the Braisa then is telling us, you should know, you would have thought that maybe it's considered all one big neder, and neder shehuta mektsase huta kuloi. And I'm telling you that not. They're considered two separate nedarim, and you have to have a Pesach and Charata for each one individually. But not necessarily that the Braisa is telling us about the order. Okay, so the Gemara says Mesvi. Then I have another contradiction. The other Braisa that we brought, Koinam She'eni Nene, where he says a Koinam that I won't have Hana from Ploini, or that Ploini won't have Hana from me, but Hareni Nozir Lachshe Ashar Valav, and in addition, a second Neder that I will be a Nozir if I go and a Matur the first Neder. Nishal on Nidre, Vachakuf Nishal on Nizrei. Then we said he has to first be Matur the Neder and only then the Nizirus. So Vamai, according to Marema's version, why should that be necessary? According to Ravina's father's understanding of Rapapi, why should that be necessary? You could be Matur Neder in either order. According to him, even Rav Nosson allows you to be Matur Neder before it was Chal. The Chachamim certainly do. So then in that case, go ahead, be Matur the Nezirus proactively, and then go be Matur the Neder, and then go be Matur the Neder. And yet the Braisa says, say no, you have to do the neder first, then the Nazirus. The Gemara says, you're right, Tiyuvta. That's a clear contradiction against Ravina's version. And therefore, we're left with the original version of Rapapi, which is that no, both the Chachamim and Rav Nosson hold that you cannot be Matur and Neder in advance until it's actually Chal. So again, the Ran distinguishes over here between whether something depends on an action that he does versus not. The Ran holds that if a person makes a neder that will take effect after 30 days, then he says yes, you could be matur neder in advance, even though it hasn't been chal yet, because the whole sugya over here is only talking about the concept when you said that it'll depend on something that you do. But again, most of the Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, you can never be matur and neder in advance. So that if a person makes a neder, for example, the Rambam gives an example, a person doing Nisan makes a neder that I'll be also in something beginning with a Shchodesh year, then you have to wait till a Shchodesh year to actually be matur the neder. Okay. Mishnah says, last Mishnah of the Masechta. Now, this Mishnah is going to be talking about is various claims that a woman might make to her husband that prevent them from staying married together. And what do we do about those claims? One of them, the last one, is going to be a neder, Metula Ani Mina Yehudim, which we've discussed several times, which is what it's doing in this Masechta. So the Mishnah says, Barishona Hoyoimim, originally the Chachamim used to say, Sholosh Noshim Yotzes, there are three cases where a woman is entitled to a get, meaning even if her husband doesn't want to give it, he still, based in, will require him to give it, the Noitlas Ksuba, and they will, in addition, be able to collect the Ksuba. So even though, on the face of it, usually if a woman wants out of the marriage, as we learned in Ksubas, fine, the husband can give her a get if he wants, but she usually forfeits her Ksuba. Here we're saying, in these three cases, the original halacha was that she does not forfeit her Ksuba in these cases. And the cases are, number one, ha'imeras tmeya aniloch. The first one is where she says to her husband, I am tamei to you because I was raped. Now we're going to learn in the Gemara that this is talking about an Eishes Kohen. If it was an Eishes Yisrael, she doesn't become also to him as a result of that. Yes. And if she was Mizana Berotzen, then she forfeits Uksuba, no question about it. Here we're saying that she collects Uksuba. We have to be talking about it's the wife of a Kohen. So therefore, as we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Bess Hashem, that in other words, that she maybe has the right to say, look, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I would have been perfectly willing to stay married to you. I can't help it that you're a Koyan and you're also in an Anusa. So therefore, that shouldn't be my fault. The thing was Ba'onis. It's not my fault that we can't stay married. Therefore, you have to divorce me, but you have to give me my Ksuba.
You can't say los de migo, right? You could say
that. If we didn't, so we could maybe say Apesha also Apesha Hitter. But there's no Apesha Hitu over here. She's saying Apesha also. She's saying I was raped, but there's no Apesha Hitu. The fact is, if she's raped, she's also to her husband. No, there's no, how, where would there be a Migri?
Yeah. So maybe that if something happened, she was, but you know, with the guy, whatever it is, she could say, "Give me a." You have to believe what she said. Maybe she wasn't raped.
Well, that's the thing. So that's going to be the Mishnah Achroni, as we say, that we don't necessarily believe her. So wait, the Mishnah Rishoni is we believe her implicitly. So that's the first one.
Unless someone else saw that she was captured, and on both.
If somebody else sees that she was captured, then anyway, then we don't need her word for it. But whatever, the point is, yeah. The second one is Shamayim Beini Levenach. The second one is where she says, Shamayim is between me and you. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to explain, we'll learn this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that it means she's saying that you, my husband, are not Yurda Kechet. You are not potent. You don't have the potency that a man should. Therefore, you are not able to have Tashmish with me or to produce children with me. And that's a problem because even though a woman, as we learned in Yuvamis, is not Mitzvah and Piri Vidivya, nevertheless, she still wants children to help her out in her old age.
After 10 years,
10 years is something else. Then the husband is required to divorce her anyway. Here we're talking about even maybe within the 10 years that she's saying that she's claimed the 10 years would be, in other words, we don't know a medical reason, but the fact is we see we're not having children. Here she's saying, I know that the problem is with you, you are not Yoda Kechet. Your Zera does not shoot out like an arrow. And as the Gemara discussed in various places, that means that you don't have the potency to have children. The Ran points out that a Medrash learns it different, and the Yerushalmi on our Mishnah learns it differently. They understand that Shamayim Beini Levenach means she's using as a metaphor. In other words, according to the first explanation, which is going to be how our Gemara learns it, the point is she's saying that only Shamayim knows the truth. Nobody's allowed to be around while we're having relations. So the only way that I'm telling you that he's not Yoda Kechetz, I have nobody to back me up except that Hashem knows the truth. According to the second explanation, which is in the Yerushalmi and in the Medrash, Shamayim Beini Levenach, she's saying, as much as heaven is distant from earth, that is how you are distant from me. You are refusing to have relations with me. So not that she's saying you're not potent. She's saying you're poshut, you're not willing to. And the Ran brings in this connection from a Medrash that when Parashas Lech Lecha, when Avraham marries Hagar, the Sora tells Avraham to marry Hagar, and the Vibona Nugam Anoichim Yimena shall have children, they'll be considered as if he's mine. And then the Pasuk says, Hagar became pregnant, and now she's acting very haughty, very arrogant towards Sora. And Sora says to Avraham, Yishpat Hashem Bein Yuvenecha. So the Ran comes from a Medrash that she's saying to Avraham, this claim of Shamayim Bein Yuvenecha. She's saying, in other words, look at this. Now you're being more with Hagar than you are with me. After all, I'm still your wife, and you still have to be Meshamish with me. So therefore, according to that, Shamayim Beini Levenach is where she's making a claim. She's saying that you are distancing yourself from me. You're not doing your oina with me like you're supposed to. So then she's claiming
that he was distant.
No, I mean the Poshet Pshat would be that she's complaining over the fact that Hagar is being chutzpahdik to her and Avraham is not controlling her. But the Medrash says that in addition, she's saying that you're distancing yourself from me. You're spending too much time with Hagar and not enough with me, basically. Anyway, the point is the Ran says our Gemara makes it clear. The Ran brings that from a Medrash.
Why the Torah doesn't mention it directly if the Midrash doesn't know that if the Torah doesn't say it?
The Torah says Yishpat Hashem Beini Uveinecha, Hashem should judge between me and you, and the Midrash is equating that with this claim of Shamayim Beini Levenach in our Mishnah.
Well, that's speculative. The Torah doesn't say it.
Obviously, the Chachamim in the Midrash had a Kabbalah from their Rebbeim that this is so, or that we can douse in the Pesukim that way. Anyway, the point is, the Ran says, our Gemara is clearly not going to take that view. Our Gemara is clearly going to say that we're talking about a case where she's claiming that her husband is not potent, as well as we'll talk about in more detail tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Incidentally,
how can Midrash say that against Avram, who completed the whole Torah? I mean,
well,
it doesn't make any sense.
Could say that Avraham would have figured he has a valid reason for it, but Sarah disagreed. It's like anything else. You know, Avraham holds one way, Sarah holds a different way. It's not the only example.
No, we have no proof against Avraham. Who can raise such a...
We have Sarah's statement, Yishpat Hashem Beini Uveinecha. She wouldn't make such a harsh statement unless there was something going on over here, more than just the Medrash figures, that it has to be more than just that Sarah was, that Hagar was being insolent. That's not a reason for Sarah to be using just a strong expression. By the way, you should know, the Gemara in Bava Kamma learns it differently. The Gemara in Bava Kamma learns that the words Yishpet Hashem Beini Uveinecha is that she's saying, Avraham, because of what's going on, I am asking Hashem to judge between us and to take my side. And the Gemara says that so she shouldn't have done that. A person should not be Moser Din Al Chaveira. A person should not say, Hashem is going to judge you and Hashem is going to punish you, because then that causes Din to come down on the person themselves. And in fact, we see that Sarah passed away earlier than expected during Avraham's lifetime. So
that's much more likely.
Okay, forget it, likely. The point is that according to the Gemara, Sarah said something that she shouldn't have, and therefore she was called to account for it by Hashem. The Medrash maybe wants to say that Sarah is not going to say something. She knows you're not supposed to be Moser Din HaChaveira after all. So why would she speak that way unless it means that she has a solid claim against Abraham that he's not fulfilling his duties to her as a husband? Okay, whatever you want, we can talk about it afterwards. But let's go on. Anyway, so that's the second one. And by the way, I mean, there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch about that, about when a woman makes such a claim. The Shach, by the way, besides, I mean, the Shach is most well known for his pirush on parts of Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote an entire sefer called Gvuras HaNoshim, just analyzing the ins and outs of those halachas. Anyway, so that's the second one. The third claim that a woman might make is on the Tula Ani Mina Yehudim. That would be a neder where she says that I am removed from the Jewish people. In other words, I am also to have tashmish with any Jew. Now, obviously then, why would she make such a neder? The Ran points out, obviously tashmish must be very hard for her. So there, it's like an onus for her. So therefore, so the Mishnah Rishona, the original halacha was that in that case also, we can force the husband to divorce her and give her the ksuba. So again, the first... No, because that's according to the Mishnah Rishonim, includes the husband as well. When she said the Tolani Min Ayodim, means all Jews, including her husband.
That's going against the...
No, that's the point. In other words, that's the Ran says. The Chachamim of the Mishnah Rishonim, the Chachamim of Bar Rishona, held that since obviously she's saying that Tashmish is painful for her, we can't force her to stay married to the guy. Therefore, we should force him to divorce her and to give her a ksuba, because it's not her fault. It's like an onus. However, the Mishnah says, however, later on, the Chachamim changed their mind. And they said, after all, you don't want to have that a woman is going to be casting her eyes on somebody else. In other words, that she wants out of her marriage in order that she can go to marry somebody else and mess up her husband. In other words, what's going to happen in any of these cases? She might actually be looking to get out of the marriage and be able to marry somebody else. She's faking it, basically. She's going to go someplace else, for example, where they don't know. Let's say in the third case where she made this neder, she's going to go someplace else where they don't know she made this neder, and then she'll get remarried. It's not truly that tashmish is painful for her, for example, and the same thing with the other ones. So therefore, the Chachamim said, we can't necessarily take her word for it. Instead, the halacha is that if a woman says, I'm tummy to you, like this case where the Kohen's wife says that she was raped, we don't just accept her word as is. She has to bring proof for it. And if not, then the husband is entitled to say, I don't believe it. Now, there is in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that maybe the husband, maybe a Baal Nefesh, should be choshish for himself and maybe accept what she's saying. There's a number of places in Evin Ezer where it talks about dinim involving this. Maybe the question basically becomes, is the husband entitled to believe her if he wants to? On the one hand, we could say yes. On the other hand, no, I shouldn't say Baal Nefesh. On the other hand, for example, since we have Chedem de Rabben Gershim, that a man cannot divorce his wife against her will, then maybe that factors in, the Ramah points out, that factors into here as well. Therefore, he can't say, you know what, I decided to be a Baal Nefesh, I want to believe you. Because then if he's giving her a get, it's not necessarily Biritzona, it's not necessarily with her full consent. She was saying to begin with, but nevertheless, that doesn't mean, since the halacha is now that we don't necessarily believe her, then that doesn't necessarily, then maybe he doesn't necessarily have the ability to unilaterally say, you know what, I believe you, I want to divorce you. So it's not so simple. There's complicated halachas about it in Shulchan Aruch. They talk about also, for example, what if the other way around? What if the husband is saying that is making some claim that that he should be also to his wife? Maybe not necessarily can he get out of the marriage so easily either, because again, Chedem de Rabben Gershim, that he can't have two wives, that he can't have two wives and he can't divorce her without her consent. Yeah. So yeah. So that's a Tavi Raya Vadvaraya. So she has to bring a proof before we're going to, before that there was an oinus. And otherwise, she's not also to her husband. There was an interesting thing that Chavis Yor has a case where a woman was like very, very sick and confessed to being Mizana when she was married to her husband. And the Chavis Yor says that that might be considered itself a Raya. Nobody, when they're that sick, would be lying about such a thing. So therefore maybe we should accept her word. Maybe we should take her word for it, that she figured she's going to die. She wants to get it off her chest. And there's discussion among the Achronim about ins and outs of that. Anyway, that's the first one. Hashamayim Beinu Levenach. If she claims Shamayim is between me and you, according to the various explanations that we said what that means, find Yasu Derech Bakosha, instead of, again, according to the missionary Shona, we would have said that automatically she's entitled to a divorce. According to the current Halacha, instead, we're going to say we should do Derech Bakosha. So what does that mean? So the Ran brings from Yerushalmi, it means we give an Eitzah Tova. Let him make a party for her and try to talk her in to staying married to him. So in other words, it's an Eitzah Tova. It's not a halacha. But practically speaking, let's try to make shalom bias between them. Send them off for marriage counseling or something. And a different explanation that some of the Mefoshim say means that we ask her to please not bring this up again. Just remain as is So again, the idea would be, in other words, we're not so quick to tell the husband, you better give her a get. We try to work things out. We try to get them to marriage counseling. We try to whatever.
But the guy can have an ejaculation.
That's okay. But even so, we send him to a doctor. Then the point is, first of all, we said that there's two explanations of Shamayim Bein Levena. And second of all, that's only one of them. And second of all, Yasu Derech Bakosha means, in other words, we don't tell him right away, go divorce her. We tell her, look, the fact is you're not Chayiv in Piri Verivya. So yes, you're claiming that your husband has this condition. First of all, he may recover. And if not, okay, we'll get him to doctors, we'll get him whatever, but let's try to appease you so that you don't feel like you need out of this marriage. And the third one, Netula Ani Minayahudim, if she made that neder that I'm also in Tashmish with any Jew, then fine. Yofer l'chelkei, the husband can be made for his chelek, because that's dvorim shebein levena. Obviously, it affects the relationship between them. So he can be made for his part. Or tehem shamashtoi, they continue to have relations. The reason she made the neder was because Tashmish is difficult for her. Again, so fine, let the husband be more careful in the future, but nevertheless, it's not a valid reason to automatically say he should have to divorce her. Or tehem, told him, and I heard him. And fine, as far as all other Jews, she'll be also, if her husband ever dies or divorces her, then yes, she will be also to be married on the grounds of this neder. So that's the Mishnah Achrona, is that we don't necessarily take her word for it and all these three things. Rather, we try to work things out and then bring back shalom bias between them.
It's called Mishnah Achrona.
Yeah. Usually often the expression on such things is the Mishnah. You have Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona. Here you have Barishona and Chos Ruloina. So the Gemara discusses the point. As a side thing, what if in this case, like we talked about in the Mishnah, where a woman says to her husband, a Koyin, that I am Tomei, that I was raped. So now, according to Mishnah Achrona, we say the husband doesn't necessarily have to believe her and they're allowed to stay married unless she brings a proof. Mahu shetoicha b'truma. Is she allowed to eat truma at this point? We know if she had relations with somebody who's also to her and is an Eishes Ish, that would be everybody, then she'd be also to eat truma, as we learned back in Yevamos. Would that apply over here? Rav Sheshes Amar Echelas. Rav Sheshes says in that case, she is allowed to eat truma. In order that she shouldn't make, that there should be bad rumors about her children. If she has to stop eating truma, people are going to start assuming, well, why does she have to stop eating truma? Because she was raped. Well, in that case, what's she doing? Married to her husband. In that case, her children from now on are halal. And
People are not in the house.
People are not in the house, but still, if they see that, still, Rav Sheshes figures that people are going to notice eventually, maybe that she's not eating truma. But Rava Amar Eina Echelas. Rava says she can't eat truma. After the Ochla Chulin. After all, there's always an option to eat Chulin. So people aren't necessarily going to realize that she's also in truma. They're going to think she doesn't have truma available to eat. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Omad Rava Umoded of Sheshes." Now, however, Rav Sheshes would agree she imnis armala if afterwards she gets widowed, if her husband passes away, she ena echelas that yes. Then at that point she can't eat truma. Midi hu time ela mishum totzi laz abana. Rav Sheshes' whole reason is in order to avoid laz on her children, nis armala and nis garsha. But if she gets widowed or divorced, Amri hash to date nisa, people are going to think, you know why she's not eating truma, because now after she got widowed or divorced, she got raped. And therefore, she's also to eat truma anymore. But they're not going to think that. Yeah, because even if she's as the wife, as the widow of a kohen, we learned back in Yevamos, she's still allowed to eat truma as long as she has children from him. But if now she has relations with somebody who's also to her, like a goy or whatever, and a goy is also to her regardless, then she's still going to be possible from eating truma. So therefore, now there's not going to be any laws anymore because people will say that it maybe happened only now. Right. Now, the Ran does point out a point over here. Thank you. The Ran does point out a point. When we have this business of Tmeya Niloch, so we're saying Mishnah Rishona was that the husband has to divorce her, Mishnah Achrona is he doesn't have to believe her. The question is, though, after all, she's saying that I'm also to you. Where does that issur disappear to that we can say that the husband doesn't have to believe her and they're allowed to stay married according to Mishnah Achrona?
Can be himself.
Yeah. So the Ran discusses that one answer is that the Chachamim can allow it because the Chachamim are allowed, the Migdar Milsa, the Chachamim are allowed where it's needed in order to make a fence around the Torah, then they're able to be, then they're like this, we don't want, like we said, to Shalom, Shalom Titan in Ba'achar, she's not going to start looking around for somebody else to marry instead, so therefore the Chachamim can do that. They can say, in other words, in this case, that they're allowed to stay married, that he doesn't have to believe her. The problem with that is, the Ran says, we know the Chachamim have the ability to override the din min haTorah when it's Shev Val Tasa, when they're saying passively, don't do something, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, for example. They can't do it with a Kum Vaseh, or even a Kum Vaseh would only be a Hodah Shah, for example, or the Yo Bar HaKama, not to make a Takana for all future generations. So the Ran answers, according to that, you would say we have the concept the Gemara mentions in a few places since Kol Makadish Adaita, the Rabban Makadish, whenever a man is Makadish a woman, he does it on the Das of the Chachamim. This is why we say Kadas Moshe V'Yisrael. Then therefore, we know there are certain rare cases where the Chachamim have the ability to take away the Kedushin the same way over here. If she were to say Tmei Ani, what we would do is, in order to avoid a problem, the Chachamim would take away as if there was never any Kedushin in the first place. And therefore, only a kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who's been nanas. But rather, what we would say is it's considered that the onus took place before they ever got married. So then, in that case, then if it was somebody that she's so now the Ran goes on to say, okay, well that would work. So that maybe would work only if it was somebody kosher. What if, for example, it was a goy? Then she's going to be also tame regardless. So that already the Ram says a doich to say that it should apply only in a case where she says the kosher mivalti, where if she's married, then yes, that would make her also to her husband, but if she's not married, it wouldn't. It's a bit of a doich to say that. So that's one answer. Then the Ram says that no, mi'ikur ad-din, we would never have said in the first place that she's believed because, after all, she's meshubad to her husband. She can't just say something and then make herself also to her husband. What it is that the original Mishnah was saying, because we would assume a woman would be embarrassed to make such a false claim, to say that nasty when it's not really true. So therefore, the Mishnah Rishona was, the Chachamim figured we can believe her. If she says such a thing, then she's willing to humiliate herself in public and make such a claim in public, then we can believe her. Mishnah Achrona is saying that no, there are unfortunately times when women use this kind of thing as an excuse, and therefore they put back the original din, where all along, according to the second explanation, all along, mi'ikra din, we would never have believed her, just the earlier Chachamim said that practically speaking, it looks like it's something that we can believe, and the other later Chachamim are saying that no. So there is a lot of discussion about this among the poskim, are we saying that midaraisa they'd be allowed to be married and only midrabanan? Were we saying that the two possibilities that the Ran is discussing over here and several other possibilities are brought up as far as how this works now, where if she's saying tmei ani loch, we're still allowing them to stay married. Again, you have also the factor that I mentioned before. Nowadays, that you have Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, the two Charamim of Rabbeinu Gershom, the one that you can't marry two wives and the one that you can't divorce a woman against her will. So that complicates things still further. It means that even when she says, Tmei Ani Lach, where Mi'ikar Adin, maybe the husband would have the ability to believe her if he wants, not necessarily can he, and be over on Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom by doing that. So we may talk about that more tomorrow.
Did you hear about Dvorkin's psak that later said she was tamei?
No, go ahead. What did Dvorkin say?
She said that she's tamei.
Uh-huh.
And
either she said it was Berotzen or either.
Said,
yeah.
I don't believe you.
Right. So that's how it is in Shulchan Aruch. That's what we're saying. But we hear that in Shulchan Aruch. Calm down. Calm down. Yeah, that's what. Calm down. Okay. Yes, that's what we're saying. In effect, that when a woman says Tmei Ani Lach, we don't necessarily have to take her at her word. Right. So again, according to the Ran's first explanation, yes, we would have to take her at her word, but we get around it through the Chachamim being Mafkia the Kiddushin. According to the second explanation, we're saying to begin with, we don't believe her Bechlal. If she wants to say that, then she has to bring proof. Once she brings proof, then we'll deal with it. But yeah.
But the Cherem de Gershom is only if she doesn't want to give her a gift. If he wants to give her a gift.
No, that's the point. Cherem de Gershom is that a man cannot give his wife a get unless she wants it. But he can't give her a get against her will.
Right.
So now over here, when she's saying Tmei Ani Lach, where she may not be saying it sincerely, she may not truly be Tmei Ani Lach or any of these other things. So therefore, so not necessarily does he have, so even though Mi'ikar Adin, maybe he would have the right to accept her word and give her a get, but now after Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, it's not so simple to say that, because then he might be over on that Cherem that he's giving her a get where she's not fully willing to accept it. She only made this claim, but doesn't necessarily mean that she's actually ready to receive a get.
But
she's making the claim because she wants to get out of the marriage, but still, once we say that the halacha is we don't believe her, not necessarily does that change because the husband's saying, you know what, I'm a baal nefesh and I want to be machner. Like I say, it's a bit complicated, and there's the.
He wants to get rid of the shit. A different reason. I want to give you a get. Not getting along, and she wants to have a get. So
if she wants to have a get, sure. But in a case like this, for example, she's saying she wants a get. But does that mean that therefore automatically does that mean that she really wants it, or is she just doing it in order to get leverage over her husband or something? So it's not so simple. So there are such things in Shulchan Aruch it talks about, for example, depends whether there's a raglayim ladover, is there strong reason to believe that her claim is true. So there's a lot of complicated dinim in this regard. But yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I can't have fancy rich money.
Yeah, I started talking to the boys. That's good.